Welcome to Virginia's Community of Learning. I'm Karen Richardson. Today's podcast features Chris O'Neill, State Director for the Virginia Initiative for Technology and Administrative Leadership. Chris is addressing a group of middle and high school science teachers as part of the opening session of a week-long workshop in which the teachers learned to use certain science probes, but also learned a lot about technology integration and Web 2.0 applications. This group also includes some high school students who are going to be part of a video workshop for the same week. And so Chris will talk to them about them as the under 20 group. And it was an interesting morning to hear that dialogue between the high school juniors and seniors and their high school teachers. So here's Chris talking about the millennials and how education may need to change in order to reach this current generation of learners.
These are just some fun statistics for those of us who are over 20, and I barely qualify, but Karen's over 20. So here's what we're going to do for the whole week is be thinking about what are the things we're doing then. I'm talking to this side of the room and the over 20 crowd of this side. Is what are the things we're doing then as we're planning lessons that take advantage of what these kids are used to doing? So they're online as a natural thing. I have a 10-year-old, and she came out clicking. So it isn't some kind of weird new thing to her. She's ready to do this kind of stuff right now off the bat in fourth grade. So what we want to talk about this week is all the lessons we're creating and developing in the probeware and the internet sites and the field trips and so on. How are we incorporating that stuff into their mentality of being ready to roll right now to where these things are not new to them? So here's just some fun new statistics. This is a study done last year. So we'll ask both crowds in the room. This is supply to you then, and then those of us who are over 20, what do we think about this? So how many of you in the room, period, across the board, have four or more email accounts? Do a show of hands. How many of us have four or more? I know I'm not the only one in the room who has four or more. So I have four or more. Here's why I have four or more. I have one Yahoo one that I got a long time ago just because Yahoo's free, whatever. Then I did a Hotmail one because the Yahoo one got spammed so bad. So then when I started working at UVA, I got the Virginia one. And then I have one that came with my high-speed internet that I don't really use, but it's on there somewhere. So there's four right there. So what's another reason you might have one then that I didn't name?
I have one I use at school for most of my work.
Right, okay, yeah, school one.
I use at home for this.
A home personal one, right. So you know what, I talked to...
Separate.
Right, go ahead, Becky. Okay, right. Yeah, maybe a Flickr or something like that if you have one of those. Anybody else in the under 20? What's another reason you might have one that we didn't say?
I have to make them up sometimes when they ask me to register, and I don't want to
get
real, so I have all these ones that I make up.
Yeah. So I talked to... That's right. There's a couple reasons.
We'll
stop right
there.
Yeah. I talked to a bunch of 10th graders last summer. It was fun to talk to them about this, too, and I asked them what's another reason, and one said... Something like this. I said, I have two for home, and one is Spartan High Good Guy at Yahoo.com. He said, that's one I email my grandmother with, my uncle, and my mom. And then I also have Spartan High Stud at Yahoo.com. And that's the one that my parents don't know about. So there's another reason than one that obviously parents don't know about. So here's a couple. Read these to yourself and tell me how you react. Second, she just kind of said, I don't get it. What are we waiting on? I said, I'm trying to figure out if it's going to be good weather for us to go camping. So she leaves the room and comes back with a printout, of weather.com and says, you have to wait 8 whole minutes? God, that's ridiculous, So their minds are already ready to go, and let's haul right now. Don't waste time and so on. There's a couple others. Check these out. So how many of you in the room, period, no matter which side, have made purchases online? Okay, everybody. How many of you did it today? Karen was doing eBay before we came. So. How many of you get health information online? Anybody? So here's the question then, and I won't put the under 20 on the spot. Here's the piece that also brings in media savvy to this then. A lot of kids, and I'm going to go back to these same 10th graders, when I asked them this question, they said, yeah, we get a lot of health information online about what's healthy and what's not and so on. So then I asked them, so where do you get the information? Who's your source online? And some said, some reputable sites, and others says, I don't know, just friends and stuff. So the scary thing is, where are we getting our health information online? Is it from a good source, or is it from just chat rooms and so on? What about you then, the under 20? So what grade are you going into? Is everybody going into what, 12th?
I'm going into 12th.
You're going into 10th?
11th.
12th. 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 So what about you guys then? Do you get health information online? Some. What about the next one then? 80% of parents, or 86% of students believe internet helps teens do better in school. Do you think internet and computers help you do better in school?
I do.
You do? Okay. So what do you think school would be like if they took away computers and the internet? I mean, would that?
Boring.
Boring, okay, cool. So what does it do for you then that helps you do better? Just off the top of your head. Quicker than what?
Like a book.
Quicker than a book?
Yeah.
Okay. So do most of your teachers use it pretty often, technology and computers and internet?
Yeah.
She's going to be political.
Yeah. No, pretend that they're not sitting there, though.
Never seen a worksheet have in 3 years.
You don't know anything about those. They used to do that in the old days when Karen was in school. What was that?
The worksheets are online.
Yeah, we used to do worksheets online. A couple more real quick, then we'll move on. Here's a fun one, too. By the way, just if you ever want some fun statistics for grant writing or something like that, that Pew Internet site that I'm referencing at the bottom here is a great source for not just school-based technology news, but just internet and technology news in families in the U.S. There's a lot of neat surveys about how families at home use internet as a family unit or don't.
Can you say something about the last slide?
Yeah, let's go back.
About what you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've taken quite a few, I don't have a computer lab set up in my classroom, but I've gone up and used a computer lab upstairs a number of times, and I see a lot of frustration with the students I have that I take there, that I want them to find specific information. I don't think a lot of them really know how to search the web to
right.
find specific information. Now, to find just anything, they can do that. But I've had a number of them say, can I use the book? Will you please let me use the book? Because it's right there and
right.
indexed easily for them to find. So
yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well, they don't
you know,
really
that
80%. Know like Boolean searches. They don't know a lot of like search techniques.
Right.
They don't know to put things in quotations or
how to narrow it down.
Yeah, exactly. Because kids will say the same thing. They'll come in here, like in my first period of anatomy, I was helping kids do research projects. And they said, how do you find something so quick? And I said, well, I just type in exactly what I want. I'm very specific. I put a plus or a minus if I know something that I don't want. And so kids don't really have those search techniques. They know how to search, but they're going to be wading through 50 pages of information before they find something.
Like right. See, that information, too.
And even how to read the abstract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would guess 90% of their internet usage is entertainment and communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's videos, it's games, it's music, creating that, manipulating that information, and then chatting, MySpace and all. I mean, a lot of that, and they bring up a very good point, that they are kind of lost, even as far as just content, reading content and say, wow, that's exactly what I need, or
right.
no, that's not what I need. That they seem to struggle with.
Right.
I
would
but
agree with that.
That's our fault with the system because we don't have a vertical alignment where we're introducing those proper techniques at
early
the right,
on.
At the right,
right.
at the right grade level.
Yeah.
It's the system's fault, not the student.
If they're a senior and then we have to teach them, and we're talking 21st century education, we're in trouble.
Yeah. There's a big, huge push, and as Karen can certainly speak to throughout the whole week, on that whole kind of media literacy and how are we helping with stuff, the same thing you just brought up. So I bet all these guys could sit right in front of the computer and click and find stuff and go on YouTube and wherever, but using it in a functional, efficient way, an educational way, is a whole different thing. It's a whole different set of skills. I can turn on my car and I can make it go really fast, but I suck at following stop signs and stuff, like boring stuff. Are you going
to
add something? Oh, go ahead.
What I teach, the classes that I have gamma, so I have ninth graders and seniors. And so I found that I just assume they know nothing when they come into my
right.
class. And I try and do a review at the beginning before we go into the computer lab and say this is, and do it on an overhead and let them not, projection, so that I can guide them through the process. Or else I'll go in ahead of time if there's something I want to look at because with art, sometimes you have to watch what you put in. is what I really want them to look for. So yeah. I'll even put links on the computers so that they have something to start with. And I say, now you can go to these links, use this site, and then go to there.
Yeah.
And that works sometimes too. But I think it has to be that you... I think if you put it to them that, I'm assuming that you all know this, but just in case there's someone that
right.
doesn't, that way students feel like, well, she's not talking about me, she's talking about somebody else,
yeah.
and they're okay with getting information.
Yeah. And even, you know, you brought up Boolean searches and stuff like that. Even that's fascinating for everybody who searched on the internet would love to know a better way to search, because if you just type in, you know, music on Google, you get 8 billion hits back. But if you type in specific keywords and so on, then you narrow it down to this music that you're looking for. So that whole media smarts thing is something we'll kind of talk about throughout the whole week, too, is how do we get around just blindly searching on the internet and wasting 30 minutes of Google searches and so on. How about this one? I'm going to go back to this one. For any guys in here have a blog or post to a blog? You do? Awesome. So what do you post online?
Nothing much.
Just like
yeah.
personal journal stuff? And you, is the same thing?
Yeah, comments.
Cool. The whole blog thing, too, is pretty interesting, too, because... Now with things like blogs and wikis, which we'll do also during the week, some Web 2.0 stuff, it's made these things so much easier. So it just brings to sort of the forefront even how more important it is that we are teaching 21st century skills. So it's not them so much because they're also smart, but kids who are coming up into schools who just happen onto a blog, then how do I teach them what's good to post and what's not good to post? And how do I determine... if I can share this much personal information, but maybe not too much personal information online. And that whole side of it, too, is pretty fun. And again, I want to reemphasize this Pew Internet site. If you just want neat information from time to time, and it's also great for grant writing and just to share with teachers, some cool stuff on there about how trends are changing on the web, even in the last year, the drastic shift with things like Web 2.0 and blogs and wikis and YouTubes and stuff. This part's sort of scary, too, and here I'm going to spend a lot of time on this because we could have a huge discussion on this. But a third of the teens surveyed said they don't even use the internet at school, even though they have tons of high-speed internet connections and computers and so on, for a lot of reasons. One is they're never scheduled to use it. Two is in whatever particular class, for whatever reason, they just don't ever actually get on the computer themselves. The timing of the day, the timing of the week, and so on. So do you guys get online pretty often at school? No, back here. A couple yeses, a couple noes. So since your teachers aren't grading you right now, why don't you get online that much at school?
Our class is never scheduled on computer.
And what about in your non-computer lab classes, though?
There's two computers in the classroom. You only go on it if you need it for certain things.
Right.
Very rare.
Okay. What about, do you want to add to that?
Most of the time, the computer is always broken, too, so it's only
okay.
one computer to go on.
So. Yeah, that's a challenge, always. I'm going to throw this kink in there, and I want us to think about this in this room, too, then. So I'm going back to my daughter, then. There's 10-year-old Chloe who's got all kind of computer stuff at home, so she's techno-savvy. She's in a school where they've got tons of stuff, and it's well-connected and da-da-da. Her best little friend, Ben, doesn't have any computers at home, and he doesn't finish his work on time. He's not a bad kid at all. He really isn't. But Chloe takes after my wife, so she finishes her work on time, calm. She's always on the computer at school. So the structure there is, when you finish your real work, then you can get on the computer. So there's Chloe 24 hours a day, has access, and there's Ben, next-door neighbor, doesn't have it at home and never gets on at school. So that, to me, is a whole different version of the digital divide. It's not so much that they don't have financially have access to it. It's right there in front of them, but somebody's standing in the way. So I think that's a weird little twist, too, this week for us to think about. And I'm going to come back to these the whole week, sort of figuring out how do we take the science stuff and integrate it into our classrooms without having to worry about just the computer lab itself and so on. So here's a couple more real quick. How many of you in the room, not the under 20 crowd, do instant messaging? Over 20, how many of you do instant messaging? So 4 or 5 of us. How many of you, the under 20 crowd, do instant messaging or chatting of some? So everybody, okay. So it surpasses email, and you tell me if I'm wrong. So here's part of the survey. When the teens were asked, how come you just don't use email? They said it's too slow. Instant messaging is much faster because it's instant. So I want to know right now, da 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 da, whatever it is, answer me back. Okay, now I'm away till tomorrow. But email is you send it and then you kind of are waiting. Maybe they're getting it, maybe they're not. So for those of us over 20, email still feels fast, but they're saying it's even too slow. What about instant messaging every day? Do you instant message every day? Pretty much, some of you. Well, okay, if you could, then you would. How about us over 20? Instant message every day? No. I do it when I'm away. My daughter and my sister and so on. How about text messaging? Who text messages in here with their phone? Period. Ever. Do you do text messaging? And do you guys have cell phones? That's a whole different conversation. I don't text message because my mom pays the bill with it. I wish my mom paid my bill. I would give up text messaging if she'd pay my bill. How about MySpace? You guys know MySpace? Everybody, okay. How about the over 20 crowd? Are you familiar with MySpace?
I know what it is, but not
that. There it is. So MySpace, here's my version of it, and I'll let them correct me. So MySpace is a way to put your personal journal online. So it's like your own personal photo album and your own diary and your own network of friends online. That's what MySpace says it is. So what happens is people post, and you feel free to yell out and say, no, that's totally not right. So people online post stuff about themselves. So I have a MySpace page, and I'm going to post poetry that I wrote. I'm going to post my blog where I just talk about everything in my life. I'm going to post pictures of myself and my friends, link to my favorite music, and then link to my friends who also have MySpace pages. So what happens is I have a MySpace page, and you're my friend, so I link to you, and you're linked to them, and so then I sort of know you because you know them, and then I end up knowing all of you because we all know each other. So then I have some real friends online that I really do know that I'm in high school with, and I physically see them pretty often. Then I have other friends that I've met before that are friends with friends. Then I have other people that I don't even know them, but they're friends with my friends, so chances are we'd be friends. And that's sort of how it works. So what ends up happening is I create a MySpace page with my three original friends, and then it branches into 10, and then by 2 months from now, I've got 50 friends. 6 months from now, I've got 1,500 friends because they keep all linking together. So the positive side of MySpace is it's a cool thing to do. You can post all kind of cool stuff. If you want to post original artwork, you can do it. If you want to write stuff, you can do it. If you want to write your own personal journey, you can do it. It's a fun way to express yourself that you can't do otherwise without something like MySpace. The downside is sometimes people don't have good judgment about what they post. So they post some stuff, and other people mess with it, and it ends up getting kind of warped and tweaked. And the downside is you can't take it back once you post it. You can erase it off MySpace page, but if I'm your friend, I could have saved all your pictures before you took them down. And if I'm at a university, now I'm like teaching a lesson, I'm not trying to do that, but if I'm at a university, what I could also do, if I'm looking at admission stuff, I can say it's down to these two people. It's a tight race. I'm going to only pick one of them who gets to come into the university. I wonder if they have MySpace pages. So I'm going to just go on MySpace and search for them and say, oh my God, she's put this crazy stuff that scares me. Even though her GPA is just as good as so-and-so, then I look at the other one and I go, well, she's just got normal stuff. Okay, that's the kind of person we want in our university. So it's a weird thing that's happening now with kids is we're also not teaching that media literacy thing to say, it's cool to share personal stuff, but where's the line? Like, maybe I should not share this one. Maybe this one only goes, you know, just to me and not posted publicly on MySpace. The cool thing about MySpace is it's given a lot of kids a cool avenue that they don't have otherwise to share cool stuff. So this quote to me is what scares me the most, period, about schools. If that's true, then we're missing something somewhere. If kids have no place to share original work or publish their own stuff in schools, then something's not clicking somewhere. You know, if they only have MySpace for that. So now, any reactions to MySpace? You guys have MySpace pages. And what do you think? Is it a good thing? Should parents be worried about it?
I just have pictures on mine. Mine's just fun.
Okay. The state's filtered it out. YouTube is making a big...
Swiping my Dr. Pepper.
YouTube is really...
Yeah, I love YouTube.
It's coming. So cool. It's grown so fast in the last couple of months. And I think a lot of people are posting on that. Students have found ways to get around the state filter to get on... Facebook and MySpace. I think when we left for school, they were on a different tunnel and still finding ways to get onto it. But being an English teacher, I just like to see kids sitting in front of the keyboard logging some hours. It's instead of just reading, they're engaging.
Yep.
I'm sure if I read some of the stuff, I'd be a little alarmed in some of my conceptions of what I have about
it. Right.
Go out the window.
Don't do it, though.
Yeah.
Trust me, I've done it. I was like... So here's my take on MySpace, and I'll stop on that. And we'd love during the week to chat with you guys again. I would personally even to talk about that. I think our task is, how do we take that mentality then, that's so net savvy and wants so bad to share stuff and has so much stuff to share, and then it's just kind of sitting here bottled up. How do we take that mentality and do something productive with it and take advantage of that? We can't open up MySpace in schools because it really would be probably disastrous. But how do we just take advantage of that skill, though, and that mindset and weave it into English classes and math classes and science classes? And I think it can be done. I think this week we're going to talk about how do we sort of pull those skills that they have that are native to them and that are new to us and take advantage of them. Again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. The last one, though, the last two, blogs and wikis and podcasts, we're going to talk about all week two then. So some of those can take that skill and turn it into something productive using a blog or a wiki and podcasts we're actually going to do with you and so on. So we think we're going to have a lot of fun with those tools.
That was Chris O'Neill, Director of the Virginia Initiative for Technology and Administrative Leadership, addressing a group of middle and high school science teachers, along with a few high school students. All of the participants were part of a week-long workshop. The science teachers were learning to use probes and how to integrate them into their instruction, and the high school students were part of a video production workshop. They were creating a video about the work that the teachers were doing. To learn more about Virginia's community of learning, you can visit us online at www.virginialearning.org. We also have a blog in which we posted pictures from this particular week in West Virginia, and that's vcol.blogspot.com. We'll be doing podcasts occasionally, so be sure to subscribe to our feed. This is Karen Richardson. Thanks for visiting Virginia's Community of Learning.